happy, cute side of Christmas, but at the dark side of Christmas, because we can't understand the peace that Jesus came to bring until we understand how terrifying it was for him to do it. So, we are going to see this wondrous sign in the heavens, a wondrous sign that shows wondrous love. And as we look at this passage, it's such a strange sign in this dragon story that we're going to have to take the first couple minutes of the sermon and just talk about what it means, what it all means. So it's going to get a little Bible nerdy for a bit, but if you hang with me for the first like 7 minutes, we'll eventually learn how this shows that God loves us so much and what it means in our lives at Christmas. So we are starting in the book of Revelation, and Jesus' disciple John wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote it when he was an old man. He was living on an island, and one day he looked up in the sky and he saw all this stuff happening. And what he saw in the sky this day is what he wrote in Revelation chapter 12. He starts out by saying he saw a great and wondrous sign, a sign that works just like every other sign in the world. Signs do this. They mark something so that you know what it is. But the only reason any signs work is because you've seen something like it before. So, this is a good example. This is a sign, but it doesn't mark the spot where we keep all the yellow M's, right? You know that because you've seen this before. You know that that sign marks where tasty hamburgers are kept, because you've seen it before. Or this sign. This is not the sign we put on the closet where we store stick people. You know that because you've seen this before. You know this is the bathroom sign for men. Right? Well, the signs in the book of Revelation work the exact same way. God showed John a sign, and it makes sense. He knows what it means because we've seen this stuff before. Now, the very first thing in the sign is he sees a pregnant woman who's in a lot of pain. She's dressed in the sun, moon, and stars. Then she gives birth to a baby and is immediately whisked away to a desert for 1,260 days. Where have we seen that before? Well, a lot of people think pregnant woman in the Bible equals the Virgin Mary. If we look at this passage just like we look at every other sign in the world by asking, where have we seen this before? We'll see it probably can't be the Virgin Mary. Because this woman is described as having the sun, moon, and stars at her disposal, and nowhere does the Bible say that Mary had the sun, moon, and stars at her disposal. But it does say, at the beginning of the Bible, it does say that the sun, moon, and stars were created to serve God's people. Mary, she did have a baby, but the Bible never describes her crying out in agony and writhing as she's giving birth. Even if it happened, the Bible doesn't mention it for us. But listen to the way the Bible describes God's people in the Old Testament. Writhe in agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. This image, this sign of a woman about to give birth who's in pain but then gets whisked away to a field, we've seen this before. It stands for God's people. And at Christmas, we see how the baby Jesus came from a long line of God's people. And Jesus is the next thing in the sign, the little baby. This baby is described as he will rule the nations with an iron scepter. Where have we seen that before? That's exactly how Jesus is described in Psalm number 2. And even if you didn't remember Psalm number 2, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote a letter to a church in which he described himself as the one who rules the nations with an iron scepter. We've seen this ruler before. It's Jesus. And finally, we're not the only ones waiting for the baby Jesus, are we? This is the scary part of the vision. there is waiting for the baby, a huge red dragon. He wants to eat Jesus and destroy God's plan. Where have we seen that before? The ancient serpent from the Garden of Eden that tried to ruin God's plan at the beginning is here at Christmas, but he's evolved into a monstrous dragon with seven heads, and he still wants to destroy God's plan. This dragon is the devil. But God won't let that happen. God snatches up the baby and keeps him safe and brings him up to the heavenly throne before the devil can get him. And then God saves the woman too, God's people. He keeps her safe in the desert for 1,260 years. This is where it's going to get a little nerdy. It's going to take us to use our Bible knowledge and some math skills. So, just hang with me. Three would be God's number. We've seen that before, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three is God's number. Four would be Earth's number. We've seen that before. The Bible talks about four kingdoms a lot of times and four beasts on the earth, and north, south, east, and west are the directions of the earth. So God's number plus the earth's number is seven, which means that when God does stuff on earth, you can picture it as a seven. And so if God's story was being told of how God interacts with earth, it takes 7 years. But the sign doesn't say that the woman will be kept safe for 7 years. It says 1,260 days. Now, here's the math part. We've got 1,260 days. If you divide that number by 30 to figure out about how many months are we talking about, 42 months. And if you divided that number of months by 12 to figure out how many years, it would be 3.5 years. 3.5 years is half of seven, half of the time that God interacts with the earth. We've seen all of these numbers before in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation. We've seen this type of symbolism before, so we can recognize it. And it tells us that half of the story of God and the earth happens before Jesus. It's getting us ready for Christmas. And half of the Bible and half of God's story with the earth happens after Jesus as we celebrate Christmas. And what God's saying, when he says that he's going to keep the woman safe for the half of the story of God and earth, just like God took care of his people before Jesus, God will take care of his people after Jesus. So the woman is safe for 1,260 days. So here's the summary. The woman is God's people. The dragon is the devil, and the baby is Jesus, who's going to rule the world. With that in mind, let's read through this sign together, and then we'll see how it shows God's wondrous love. Let's read it together off the screen. Ready? A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. That's God's wondrous sign that shows his wondrous love. And we've heard in the past few weeks how Jesus comes at Christmas to give us gifts. We saw his gift of hope and joy and peace. And today, this wondrous sign shows us God's love. But it's probably not the first place you think to look to see how much God loves you. It wasn't for me. I've seen this in my life. I've seen it in lots of other Christians, that we will look anywhere to see if God loves us as long as it's not where God shows us he loves us. And so people think things like, if God really loved us, he wouldn't allow all these tragedies to happen. Or if God really loved me, I wouldn't be having this financial difficulty. Or if God really loved me, I'd be healthy. Or if God really loved me, this is probably the most favorite one for Americans right now. If God really loved me, I would have some super happy, joyful experience of God when I read his word or when I go to church. But since I don't, I'm not sure if God loves me. There's probably not a ton of people in this room who've said those things, but those are the ideas that lurk behind all of our pessimism and cynicism and grumpiness. So if you wake up on winter mornings with a sigh and a here we go again, have you miscalculated how God loves you? If you hear other people tell you it's okay, Jesus loves you, he's in control, and you're not sure if you can take their word for it, or you think they're being a little naive, have you miscalculated how God shows his love for you? If you think that your sadness means that God is far away from you, have you miscalculated the way God shows his love for you? I have. Father, forgive us for all the times when we are so wrong-headed, when we totally forget to look where you showed your love. Father, forgive us for making demands of you. Father, forgive us for not seeing your love. Of course we make these mistakes. We have broken hearts. We have malfunctioning hearts that just can't get to God, because from the very beginning of God's world, we ruined it with our sins. And now we're all mixed up, which is why God has to lay it out for us super clearly in his word, just how we can know that he loves us. And so this is a Bible passage that you probably recognize, where God tells us how we can know if he loves us. But I retranslated it to make a point. God so loved the world means God loved the world in precisely this way. Not by filling up the bank accounts of believers, not by curing every disease that's ever existed, not by making us all feel happy all the time. God loved the world in precisely this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's gift of love to us at Christmas. And just like you're giving lots of gifts of love, and you've probably calculated just how much they cost, let's take a minute to consider how much this gift of love cost our Heavenly Father. God sent his Son Jesus, but not just to rule the world. First, to enter the realm of the devil, to enter the realm of the seven-headed fiery dragon. And it was risky. It was super risky for God. He knew that Jesus would face temptation at every corner. He knew that the devil's total objective would be to destroy his Son, and yet he sent him anyways. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is it that God sends his Son in the midst of an evil world for us? If you want to get the hang of what that might have been like, think of someone you'd love most dearly. A family member, a friend, a loved one. Think of their name. Picture their face. Think about what you love about them. Now I'd like to make a deal with you. Would you please agree to let the demons chase that person you love for 3 decades so that they are relentlessly harassed? What do I have to give you to allow your loved one to be afflicted by devils? What's your price? Because it's exactly what our Heavenly Father did. What in the world did he consider worth it to give his Son to temptation for 33 years? you were worth it. God gave his son into this evil world so he could have you. That's how you measure how much God loves you. When you see what he gave up to win you. And it's true that God knew that the devil would never get Jesus, right? Jesus is all powerful, and so he could always win. But don't forget what the chase was like. In the book of Revelation, God just snatches up the baby and takes him to heaven right away. But don't forget what that was like while the devil pursued him. You remember at the very beginning of Jesus' life, King Herod tried to kill Jesus by killing every baby boy in Bethlehem? But Jesus got away. Remember at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he went out into the desert and faced off with Satan for 40 days alone with the devil? But Jesus got away. You remember how the devil started working through Jesus' enemies, and people would come up to him and challenge him and try to scare him away from completing his mission through the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in Israel? But Jesus got away. And remember, then the devil started working through Jesus' friends. And so Peter comes up to him and says, "You don't need to go to die on the cross. That's not what you're here for." And remember what Jesus had to say? "Get behind me, Satan." And don't forget that finally Jesus is hanging on the cross, suffocating. And the devil did strike his heel when Jesus died. Don't forget what the chase was like, but even if it's true that the devil never got Jesus, remember what did. That he faced his Father's wrath for us. And so Jesus doesn't come across as an innocent, helpless baby. Jesus comes across as quite a hero in this story. Yeah, the baby Jesus in our manger scenes look cute. But what I did is I didn't read the whole thing, but I flipped through my Bible, scanning it, looking for any indication that Jesus is cute. And while artists often make the baby Jesus look cute, the Bible makes Jesus from start to finish look manly and gallant and courageous. And so you can see that what sets Jesus apart is his superhuman courage. Even when the Bible is describing his suffering and death, it's not written in a way that makes you feel sorry for him and say, "Aw." It's written in a way where you're astounded by how brave he was. And you see Jesus' superhuman courage in facing this evil world when you see him stare Pontius Pilate in the eye at his trial. And more than that, when you see him look out and stare a murderous mob in the eye. More than that, when you see him stare a seven-headed fiery dragon in the eye. More than that, you see Jesus' superhuman courage when he picks up every sin from the history of the whole world and he's holding them all, the guiltiest man in the face of the earth who deserves punishment more than anyone, and he stares down his God of justice and he does not flinch. Jesus is the man. He is the man in the Bible. And that is what this Christmas story from Revelation is all about. Our hero is a baby, but he has the heart of a lion. I read a poem in a commentary about this Bible verse that put a common Christmas hymn in Jesus terms. It said, "Silent night, violent night. Hell and heaven meet to fight. And not for an instant did Jesus back down. He gave his all so that we wouldn't have to face the dragon, so that we wouldn't have to face our Father when he was angry. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this, O my soul, that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? God our Father gave up his Son. Jesus faced every danger for us." And so I hope that you come back tomorrow for Christmas Eve service, and we'll see the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, and we'll sing the regular version of Silent Night. And if you want to know that God loves you, look to the manger the light of the world, who's come and see the baby, look no further than the baby. But if you want to know how much God loves you, do look further. See past the little manger scene into the darkness that lurks behind it. See the dragon. See the danger. See all that God has given up for you. See all that Jesus did for you. And that wondrous sign, that's how we'll know God's love. If you have any doubts about God's love for you, see this wondrous sign that shows God's wondrous gift of love. Amen. Please stand. We'll sing the magnificent